Now, he was the king of pop, a superstar without equal, the idol of millions of young people around the world. But what was Michael Jackson really like? Well, there seems to be two camps, and somebody whose book alleges to have new information is here with us today. Welcome to the show, Dylan Howard.
It's good to be with you.
Great to have you on the show, Dylan. Thank you. So which camp are you in then? I know your book's called Bad, which of course is one of his albums anyway. But what do you think? What evidence have you found?
Well, I set about this as a bipartisan journey into the dark heart of the Jackson scandal in the wake of the Leaving Neverland documentary on HBO, which you have to understand was a very subjective exercise. From the outset, it was intended to tell the stories of Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who claimed that they had repressed memories about encounters with Michael Jackson. So, indeed, one of their lawyers had said that Michael Jackson had run one of the more complex child sex trafficking rings the world has ever seen. Of course, I think that probably has been eclipsed now by Jeffrey Epstein. So as a young teenager in Australia, I too adored and idolized Michael Jackson. I think that I probably moonwalked across the living room floor far too many times. So, you know, this was a personal rite of passage for me to try and attempt to uncover who really Michael Jackson was.
I could never understand. I saw the Leaving Neverland documentary as well, and I just can't understand why the parents of those boys would let them stay with Michael Jackson, let them sleep in his bed if they were worried.
Look, you're 100% correct. There are a lot of people to blame for the actions of Michael Jackson, but it's all too easy to blame those people and not look at the root cause of the issue. And I think that what I discovered after a year and a half of investigation, like everything with Michael Jackson, the truth remains opaque and elusive. Now, his accusers in that movie have what some have described as tarnished reputations and questionable motives. But the reality is that Michael Jackson was a very complex individual. What I uncovered in Jackson was a man who was both naive and Machiavellian, unorthodox and shrewd, a drug addict. He was a manipulator. He was a plotter. He was unstable and he was an opportunist. Yet at the same time, he was a musical genius. Michael was a man who knew that his talents were so great that he was also insecure and fragile. And in looking back and attempting to lay blame on others, I think is a futile exercise when you consider the reality remains that Michael Jackson as an adult knew right from wrong, and he knew that these encounters with young children were wrong.
But what about people who came before the Leaving Neverland documentary, people like Jordan Chandler, who alleged that there were child abuse allegations back in the 90s, but then he got quite a nice payout and decided to drop the charges?
Well, Michael surrounded himself with a consigliere of enablers, ones who were prepared to use money and power to betray the truth from ever coming out. Now, of course, the Jackson camp would argue that the payoff was a nuisance and designed to get rid of some unseemly tale. However, the reality remains that Michael Jackson was not pure. Michael Jackson was not innocent. He had increasingly bizarre behavior. He had an obsession with plastic surgery and an addiction to drugs. These facts cannot be ignored. The truth cannot be ignored. And don't forget, of course, that Michael Jackson was the man who hid a porn stash in his fantastical Neverland ranch that was inappropriate. And in the prologue of my book, I actually talk about watching multiple times from various sources a never-before-seen video in which Jackson is caught on camera role-playing in scenarios with two young boys with no adult supervision at an international resort. And whilst nothing nefarious in terms of anything sexual takes place, the sheer role-playing and language that is used, and it's foul-mouthed language, is highly inappropriate.
But do you not think that because of his upbringing, and he never really had a childhood, that he is, you mentioned, he's naive. He's just being a child, he's just being a boy, being very silly and very childish and very, very boyish with these other boys. Because you said there was nothing sexual there.
Nothing sexual, but the reality was behind closed doors, the type of language that was being used was highly inappropriate. And I ask this question of any mother or father: would they be prepared to allow their child today to be behind closed doors with a celebrity in a bed? I think the answer would be no.
Absolutely, it should be no, definitely.
Now, those associated with Jackson are not interested in the truth. They will say that anything that challenges the conception that Michael Jackson was simply Peter Pan and had never grown up is an agenda-driven lie. But the Jackson fans are like any others. They're not interested in the truth. They will only ever believe what they want to believe, and they will continue to live in this like echo chamber, ignoring all the evidence that has piled up, and worship their fallen idol. But it is important to understand Michael Jackson was a musical genius. That is indisputable. But he was also fundamentally, fatally flawed and largely the architect of his own downfall. And those two can exist. You can still like Michael Jackson's music, but realize that he was inappropriate.
I think the problem is that with Jeffrey Epstein and with others, there is irrefutable evidence. There doesn't seem to be any irrefutable evidence with Michael Jackson that you can say, right, now we know he was a sexual predator.
No one but the victims have accused Michael Jackson of being a sexual predator. The closest it comes to irrefutable evidence is the pornography stash that was uncovered by Santa Barbara prosecutors and detectives at the Neverland Ranch. And I think that's what makes the Jackson story so compelling still many years after his death, is that it is an unanswered question. There is no conclusion to this. And as long as subjective exercises like that of the filmmaker Dan Reed come out with the stories of Wade Robson and James Safechuck and give them a forum, questions will continue to be asked about Jackson. Now, in Bad, I actually subjected Robson and Safechuck to the equivalent of a lie detector test. So I use technology that is used by more than 50 law enforcement bodies in the United States. It is not admissible in court, but it detects deception and stress in their voices. And It is administered by licensed individuals, and their report concluded that both Robson and Safechuck likely were telling the truth, but did indicate that there were some levels of deception that might have sensationalized parts of their stories. This is important to understand in that context, that these were repressed memories these two individuals had that were brought back through years of psychotherapy. And whilst I don't want to impugn their reputation, it is important to understand that there are contrarian views to what they have said.
And was it just those two that you interviewed for the book?
Well, I didn't interview those two. I put them through a series of tests that law enforcement use. Those that I did interview for the book were vast people connected to Michael Jackson. In fact, I've spoken to Jackson family members and many, many others. I think also what is overlooked in the analysis of Jackson's life is just how much of a drug addict he was. This was an individual who would use pseudonyms and doctor shop in order to get the drugs that would ultimately take his life. And he did this for decades, close to 2 to 3 decades. And I think that's one of the great tragedies of this. It's a story that is rich with Shakespearean tragedy. But the reality is Michael didn't have to die, but he died because he was surrounded by a consigliere of people who wouldn't say no. These same people helped cover up a lot of the allegations around him. But when he wanted drugs and wanted near fatal and lethal doses of the drugs that killed him, they were all too willing to provide it to him.
Yeah, and as you say, that ultimately, took his life. That was what killed him, wasn't it, in the end?
Absolutely. I mean, this was a guy who was guzzling prescription drugs and booze. And if you look at the video of him preparing for the This Is It tour, I mean, he could barely stand.
Yeah.
To think he was going to do 10 shows, let alone 50, provides a window into those that were exploiting him for their own financial gain.
Mm. And what about his own children, Dylan? Do you think he was a devoted father?
I do. I really do. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I can't stress enough that I really do believe that the book that I put together is a compelling narrative of the allegations, and I emphasize allegations made against Jackson, and really is a bipartisan view of the situation. He was a devoted father. There is no doubt about that. But again, this was an individual who held one of those children over the balcony of a hotel.
Yeah.
And if that were to occur in today's woke culture, and I say woke with quotation marks around it, he would be hung, drawn, and quartered in the middle of Leicester Square. It just would be considered unacceptable, as rightfully it should. So he was, though a devoted father, he was also a troubled father.
Yeah, very troubled man indeed. Very troubled, very, very sad. A very sad end to what, like you said, an amazing, amazing talent that ended too soon, like a lot of them.
Absolutely. And again, I can only emphasize that those two can coexist. His musical talent was unlike any other, but that talent could never mask the other side of Michael Jackson, a strange obsession with young boys, bizarre behavior, plastic surgery. These cannot be ignored. And despite what Jackson fans will tell you, Michael was not a saint. He was not pure. He was not innocent. He was a deeply flawed individual. And he was also the victim. He was the victim of a shakedown. He was also incredibly complex. And thus, the story of Michael Jackson is never easy to decode.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, we don't know, not that there's any excuse for anything, but we don't know what happened to him as a child within the Jackson family, do we?
No, and again, that makes it all the more complex. We do know that his father ruled the Jackson 5 with an iron fist, yeah. And as a young kid, he was exposed to things that most of us wouldn't be exposed to until later on in life.
Yeah, indeed. Well, people can find much, much more than we've just scratched the surface of today. The book is called Bad, An Unprecedented Investigation into the Michael Jackson Cover-Up. It's by Dylan Howard, who we're speaking to now, and we're selling it now on our website. Dylan, it's been fascinating chatting to you. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
You're absolutely welcome anytime. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.